Hello, critics, non-critics, and friends. Welcome back to the Film Optics Podcast, brought to you by the Drive-In Podcast Network, where we take a glance into comic book movies, blockbusters, indie films, and everything in between. I'm your host, Christian, and I'm joined by my co-host. And today we are kicking off our first episode of 2022 with the latest movie to hit theaters, and that is Scream 2022, or it's actually just called Scream. But Devin, we're back in business, baby.
Hola, senor.
Hola, man. How have you been, man? It feels like it's been forever, and it's only been about 2 weeks, but...
Yo hablo español.
Devin spent some time down in Mexico, so...
Oh, yeah.
Down in Mexico. That was... How was it for you, man?
It's weird switching back to English. I was just so fluent down there. Just picked it all up.
He had that nice little Rosetta Stone. He was ready to go, raring to go. But yeah, he's got a nice little tan going on. I know this is an audio-only podcast, but, you know, we like to... see each other's faces as we, kick things off. But
return home to a mountain of snow everywhere.
That's the life of an Ohioan for you. It's you never want to leave your destination of where you've been, because it's like, man, especially during this time of year, it's actually been like snowing here in Old Music City here for a while. And I was like, you know what? I'm totally okay with it. But I got to say, Devin, I was a little bummed out because I was supposed to go see Belle today in theaters, and I was all excited, had my ticket ready, you know, AMC coming in clutch. I was like, oh, you know, there's only like maybe three or four people in the same screening as me. And so I'm getting in my car. I went to the theater. I was like, sweet, found a nice little spot right outside the theater. I walk in all proud. I'm like, man, you know, it's been a while since I kind of just went to the movies just to watch something without any type of agenda. And the doors were locked. And I was like, oh, maybe it's the other door. Checked all the doors. They're all locked. And there's this small little sign that says they were closed due to weather. And I'm looking around. This is like a day after it snows. And like, we got a little bit of snow here, but it was more like slush, like the gross kind of snow, the snow you really don't like. And I mean, the streets were clean. You know, there's a little bit of snow on the ground, but down here in Nashville, it's very different. A lot of people are afraid. When they hear the word winter storm, they like panic buy everything in all the stores. You know, you go to the grocery stores, everything's just gone. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, wow. I was ready to get out of the house. You know, it's been, you know, I was kind of chilling around for the past 2 days, nice little 3-day weekend. And come to find out my local AMC theater was closed due to weather concerns. And I was like, is it really weather concerns outside? I personally don't think that, because I'm a northern man. I'm from the north, you know. When they say winter storm here, that makes me think we're going to get a feet of snow, not like 5 to 6 inches. But it was, I'm not going to lie, Devin, it was pretty disappointing. But I mean, I'm here, I guess.
Can't handle a little bit of powder on the ground.
Devin, you have no idea how insane it can be here. But we're not here to talk about the crazy, crazy, you know, the lack of snow preparation in Nashville. Today, we are going to be talking about the new Scream movie. It's been about 11 years since the last one came out, and a little bit of housekeeping before we get into our review. So before we begin today's episode, you can listen to our podcast on platforms around the internet. If you are a new or seasoned listener to the show, we would love to hear from you guys. Show us some love. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you're listening on either or. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Film Optics. That is Optics with an X. Or you can email us at filmoptics.com for any movie-related questions. Man, it is, whew. You know, I like, you know, keep it a nice little spicy. I had time within the past 2 weeks that we weren't uploading things. I mean, I uploaded like a small little update type thing, but I had time to kind of like, you know, reconstruct the template, you know, make it sound nice, flow through. And I was like, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. So very, very excited. But Devin, man, are you ready just to, we're going to dive in here. Are you ready to,
do you want to play a game?
what is your favorite scary movie, Devin?
I like the list she had on this one. Enhanced horror, is that what she called it? No, elevated horror. I think that's what she called the genre. I never heard of that before, but it's definitely up my alley.
Definitely. Or like the psychological.
She said The Witch. She said
there was no Midsummer Love. I can't remember if she said.
I mean, Hereditary's same director.
Yeah, but, same director, but it's whatever. But
It Follows. It's a classic.
Yeah, that's true. And then I think they said Get Out, because that is more.
She said her favorite was The Babadook.
The Babadook. Mine's Baba Yaga, The Beach. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back with our Scream coverage right after this short break.
There's certain rules to surviving. Believe me, I know. They always come back. The killer is a part of something in the past.
This one just feels different.
You're all in danger.
Mom?
Where?
Sydney.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard a small little snippet of the new Scream trailer, and the story is as follows. 25 years after the original series of murders in Woodsboro, a new ghost face emerges and Sidney Prescott must return to uncover the truth. This film was directed by Tyler Gillett and Matt Bettinelli. I think I got that right.
Well, their director duo name is Radio Silence. That's what they go by.
Right. Oh, it is Radio Silence. Okay, so director is Radio Silence, aka Matt and Tyler. Were the directors on this bit. And of course, the writers include James Vanderbilt. That's a nice little last name. Guy Busick and Kevin Williamson. And stars the following. Of course, we have Neve Campbell coming back to replace her role as Sydney. We have Courtney Cox coming back as Gail Weathers. And Deputy Dewey, David Arquette. And a few new faces, a lot of new faces within this this new movie, this new slasher. Well, not slasher, requel. A requel. That's right. They did call it a requel. I'm very I like that term.
That's definitely officially a term now, especially after this movie.
Yeah, I like the term requel more than reboot, but a reboot is different because it's, yeah, but I like how they coined that phrase, you know. I think it fits very, very perfectly. So the way this is going to work out, for anyone out there new listening, of course, we're going to get into our initial reactions first, which includes non-spoilers. And then once you hit here, excuse me, this little bad boy. Oh, no, actually, that's the swear one. There we go. Once you hear that little boy later on, that means we're going to get into spoilers. So fear not for now. You know, we're just going to kind of give our initial thoughts about the movie and a little bit about the box office as well. Nice little box office earnings here. So before we get into our initial reactions, this is actually from Forbes. Scream ends up nabbing, that's what they call it, or nabs, what is the term that they use, $35 million to debut, an unprecedented box office win is what they called it. And they said it's we rarely get rated R movies nowadays, and I'm very excited. You know, the charts, you know, starting with a robust 30.6 million on Friday through Sunday, the opening weekends, and 35 million Friday through Monday domestic debut. So it's pretty interesting. You know, they have all the other numbers for the other Scream movies. But Devin, did you get a chance to watch the other Scream movies like prior to this for you on your little vacation?
I had recently watched the original like a couple months ago, just kind of because it had been a while, and it holds up so well. It's just such a classic, but I have not seen the others in a while.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you followed me on. Well, no, you don't have a letterbox. We got to get you set up with a letterbox. Actually, I think
I have one, but I don't think I've ever used it.
That's right. So I actually went through and watched all four Scream movies, like the weekend before, and I just blew through them. Like,
they're an easy watch.
They really are.
Two is and then three is like, oh, that's not great. But then four is interesting.
I like four a lot.
I thought it was really enjoyable.
Did we see four together or no? Because I definitely saw it.
I don't remember ever seeing it in theaters.
I don't think it was in theaters, but I definitely remember seeing it when it came out in like 2011 because I knew who the killer was. I was like, oh, it's, you know, I don't want to tell anyone. But yeah, so this is the first Scream movie that without Wes Craven, of course, you know, for those who don't know, he had passed away a while ago. So yeah, this is a new one. You know, it used to Radio Silence is the name of the directors, and they actually directed Ready or Not.
Oh, yeah.
So no wonder why you like it so much.
It was perfect.
But so when I first saw the new Scream, I guess I'll just get my initial reactions first, and I'll pass it over to Devin for my reactions here or my first thoughts. When I was going through the original Screams, you know, the first four, I have Scream 1 as number one, and then I had two. And then I had four, and then I had three, but then I kind of shifted everything around. I think, like, Scream 2, I liked because of the twist at the end, because of one of the killers you don't see coming. But with this movie, with the new Scream, I absolutely loved it. You know, the beginning kill, they do things a little bit differently, which we'll definitely get into with spoilers. But I think Ortega, is it Jenna Ortega, who plays you know, the helpless girl during the beginning.
Yeah, she was great.
The opening kill, I think she did a fantastic job. Like, honestly,
I've only ever seen her in. She's also in You season two, and she was also great in that. But I think she's like originally a Disney Channel star.
Was she? Okay, I did not know that. But yeah, like, honestly, like, when I saw it, it was a breath of fresh air. I mean, I wrote like a little bit of a thing, like my first reactions on Twitter. I'd said that, you know, this new Scream is like a love letter to like the slasher genre, and the meta humor is just literally, it was like speaking directly to me and all these other people, you know, all these other critics and movie buffs and film lovers on Twitter. I think it hits on like every single level, and it's very, very relatable.
It's definitely the most meta Scream. Scream 4 is very meta. That opening where they go through the stab movies. But I think this one has to be the most meta out of all of them.
Yeah. I think Kristen Bell was in the fourth one, wasn't she? For like a hot second. Or was that third one? I think that was the third one.
Fourth one?
Okay. So, see, I'm already going to mix up. But yeah, like, I really just enjoy how this movie gives room for new characters to grow while paying respects to, you know, the original cast. Hence the coin term requel, which is, you know, you don't want to make a sequel. You don't want to do a reboot. So it's kind of the old character or like the original cast taking more of a back seat and passing that torch onto newer characters.
And I love all the examples she gave, because they are great examples, like the newest Halloween, the newest Ghostbusters,
Star Wars, even
Star Wars, you could argue.
Yeah.
But I feel like those are, you could just say they're all requels, because they always rely on the old characters.
Devin's latest piece. Star Wars has no true sequel.
Every Star Wars is a requel.
It's a requel of the original. Even the prequels are requels. But yeah, I really want to see this movie again. I thought the writing was just so clever, and just much like all the other Scream movies, you know, I think they did a really good job of the pacing in and of itself, you know, with Wes Craven. A lot of, you know, every single Scream movie that, you know, all the other Scream movies that he directed, they didn't, like, he never liked to waste time. There wasn't a lot of, like, even if there was like downtime, like the plot was always moving forward with like every single scene that that we were introduced to. And it's, you know, it's a fun time. It may not be as funny as the others. I think this one is a little bit more serious, but I really like how they really just made this for Wes Craven and, you know, all the other, you know, 90s slasher horror fans out there. For a lot of people, the Scream franchise is kind of like, I mean, it's a great way to introduce someone to horror.
Yeah, it's one of those franchises that kind of transcends generations, similar to like a Halloween or a Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th, where no matter how old you are, like, you can get into this pretty easily. Like, obviously, our parents watched the original Scream, then our generation watched the original Scream. And I went to go see this with my sister, and she's seen all the Screams. Even her generation get into it. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Zoomers, but...
Hello, millennials. Oh, man. Yeah, it really is. It's one of those... Like, my mom does not like slasher. Like, she does not get Scream at all. And I was trying to explain it to her. I'm like, well, it's a slasher. Like, you know, it's horror, but it's... It's very like there's a lot of satire, you know. It's like, you know, they have the film franchise Stab within the movie. So it's like a movie within a movie. And then, you know, the Stab movies are based off of the book that Gale Weathers wrote, you know, for the Woodsboro Murders. And it kind of all really starts with the first one. And I actually have like a really strange take. I think on purpose, they have not made a Scream as good as the original. For the sake of, you know, they're always saying, you know, it always goes back to the original, you know, like everything goes back to the original where, you know, nothing can really top it. And I feel like as great as this movie is, I feel like on purpose, they did not try to make it as good as the first one or any of the other sequels for that matter, because, you know, we didn't really know that we were getting Scream 4 at the time. Like Scream 3 was okay. This wasn't, I mean, like I liked it. To a degree, but it's definitely the weakest of
it was just so
the killing was like so cheap. There was a lot of they
the were voice changer. Oh my god,
they were trying
that technology. It has not and never will exist.
I like the voice changing technology because it did put a nice little twist onto it.
It's just not realistic at all.
But no, it's really not. I mean, well, now with NFTs. We got those going.
NFTs can do anything, right?
I mean, you saw the pictures with the line of Pierce. I was like, what is going on?
Wish we could have got an AMC Scream NFT. Would have sold that nicely.
I know. Well, they're doing like, I was watching Young A's video, excuse me, about it, like with the whole voice changing thing. It kind of goes back to Scream, I promise. But apparently there's like, for like voice actors, there's like NFTs where, you know, people can kind of buy, you know, like a sample or like that IP or like that data, and they can kind of, you know, you can apply it to your voice and do that voice change thing. But I do agree, yeah, with the third Scream, it's the whole voice changing thing. There's no way, even back then, the technology would have existed. But I like how they definitely made up for it in Scream 4 for sure. But yeah, I've been rambling here for a while. I'm going to pass it over to Devin so he can give his initial thoughts on the new Scream film.
Yeah, I thought it was really enjoyable overall. Obviously, nothing can live up to the original, and I think they know that. So they just kind of went with their own direction, what they wanted to go with. The new actors, for the most part, are all great. Melissa Barrera as Sam Carpenter. I was watching the whole movie, and I was like, where do I know this woman from? And then after it, I looked it up and I got so mad because it was like In the Heights.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And also, one of the other girls, the girl with like the black hair, Jenny's one of her best friends, she was from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, I thought I recognized her, but not as much. Yeah, she was interesting. And then there was those twins that I thought were very entertaining.
Do you know where one of the twins is from?
Good old Booksmart.
Well, actually, no, the girl twin. She's in Spider-Man Miles Morales. She does a face scan. She plays the Tinker.
Oh yeah, that's right. She's
she's in the game. Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on her character's name within the game right now. So I do apologize. I love that game. One, like, I beat it 100%. Loved it. But yeah, she plays
Mason. Finn Mason.
Yeah, that's right. Finn. Yeah. She plays Miles' best friend who, spoiler, becomes a tinker in Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Sorry, everyone who doesn't have a PlayStation 5 or a PlayStation 4. But yeah, so there's a lot of, and of course, Jack Quaid's in this film as well. Like, there's a lot of.
I was going to mention him. Jack Quaid, obviously, The Boys, definitely gives some nice background for us,
mm-hmm.
and makes the movie a little more interesting when you have that background.
Yeah, and also the kid from 13 Reasons Why, isn't it?
Yeah, he was kind of just there. He was one of the ones, and then there was that other love interest of the jock guy that was just,
yeah.
What was she doing there? That part was rough.
Well, the only reason why I mentioned the guy from 13 Reasons Why, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his last name, but or his name in general, but they named him Wes in the movie, which I really, really thought that was a nice little homage. But honestly, yeah, I'm sorry, continue. I'm cutting in all over the place.
Yeah, the new cast was definitely entertaining, and then of course the old cast, David Arquette, I thought he was amazing in this. Like, probably the best performance he's given in a Scream movie. And he definitely had the most screen time of the three core cast members. I guess four technically, but we can get into that. Sydney Prescott, Nev Campbell is always great. Not as much screen time as I think the trailers would lead you to believe, which could be a bit of an issue for some. And then, of course, Courtney Cox as Gail Weathers.
You know, so many people are telling me online that Courtney Cox is like, like they called her like the original Lois Lane, or like they say she's like better than Lois Lane because she actually, like, you know, reports on the news. Like, Gail Weathers gets into the mud, like 100%. She's not afraid to, you know, like stab people in the back, you know, like burn bridges, you know, whatnot. But I kind of do agree with that. I feel like Lois Lane should be more of like a Gail Weathers type person, because Gail Weathers is very cutthroat.
Very, very strong.
Very, very strong.
Overpowering.
And like, for some people, they might have been introduced to Courtney Cox first in Scream before Friends. So,
yeah. You
know, so she was a nice little movie star beforehand. But yeah, like I said, you know, just kind of closing off the initial reactions. I really loved it. I cannot wait to see this again. Like 100%. I'm just very, very excited to just dive back in. I think Wes Craven would have been very, very proud. And there's a lot of different things, like so many things that happen within this film. We're definitely going to get into it. So that is your first spoiler warning for Scream. Again, that is your second spoiler warning for Scream. So yep, if you haven't seen it yet, if your theater's not closed due to the weather, go watch it. It's a lot of fun. You know, I've been hearing nothing but good stuff. You know, this few valid criticisms out there. I was watching Chris Stuckman's review, and he said the number one criticism to him was that it didn't feel as fun as the others. Like, as in, like I said before, it definitely feels way more, this one felt more serious than the others. And I understand why they named it Scream instead of Scream 5, because of the whole requel thing. And I was like, oh, you know what? Because they actually mention it within,
yeah, mentioned naming it just the original thing,
yeah, which is really, really, I was like, because for the longest time I'm like, why didn't they just do a Scream 5 or 5 Cream?
Like, they Scream 5 them,
Scream or Scream 4 Scream from. But yeah, I really like, I get it now, you know, they understood.
And I really like their take on the toxic fan bases that are prevalent and rampant throughout the internet, because it was so, so accurate, because all they want to do is try to change the endings of movies and make them what they wanted their vision to be for a franchise. And they will do whatever it takes to try to get that to become a reality. And sometimes they cross the line and abuse people on Twitter or social media, and they get way overboard and they're just terrible people. This movie just shows that they can even take it a step further and just go crazy.
Yeah, it is scary accurate how aware this movie was when it comes to like film Twitter, and just everything overall when it comes to franchises and how people view them, and you know, how, you know, you can't mess with the original because it quote unquote messes with people's childhood. And I mean, even coming off of like this movie, like looking up like Rotten Tomatoes scores, I mean, Tomato Meter is a 76 right now, an audience score. It's around 84% with like 1,000+ verified ratings for audience and about 193 reviews for Tomato Meter. And I think that's pretty, I mean, for most people, I do know some people weren't super crazy about it, but I know others, you know, they'll stand Ghostface until they die. And I feel like we can definitely get into the killers, because there's so much that kind of goes, you know, within their monologue, their evil speech as to why. I'm just gonna say it. So like, since we're in spoilers, and I'm assuming people who have seen it or are listening right now, you've already seen it. We know that Richie and Amber were the killers of this movie. And I loved how there's so many red herrings. Everyone had a motive for being the killer. For like a hot second, I really loved how when they had Jasmine Savoy Brown, when she's talking to Mickey Madison's character Amber, when it's Mindy and Amber, and they're downstairs in the basement, and Mindy's like, "Cause I'm the killer," and you know they're kind of talking like, Mindy's like, "Oh, like, well, Amber, why are you going downstairs in the basement by yourself? You know, there's a killer on the loose," and they're like, "Oh, well, like, you know, maybe you came down here to kill me, whatever, whatever." I really loved their back and forth, and Jack Quaid put on a hell of a performance. Pardon my French.
Oh yeah, I loved the reveal of him as a killer. I wasn't as crazy about Amber being in one of the killers because I thought she was just kind of in the background for the most of the movie.
Mm-hmm. I do. And
her motive wasn't really ever clear, ever, except for the fact that she was just on Reddit being a big Stab fan along with Richie. But you can see from Richie's perspective where he like finds Sam and becomes her boyfriend just because he's that insane and crazy about a movie franchise. But then they never really, because one of the big reveals is obviously that Amber lives in the Scream house, which they don't reveal until the end. I feel like if they would have revealed that a little sooner, Amber would have been a little bit better of a reveal. But it's kind of cool that the Scream house, it's like its own character.
Yeah. And not only that, another big reveal for Sam Carpenter is that she is the illegitimate child of Billy.
Yeah, there are a lot of brown children being made from white, older white people.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder what their counterparts looked like. Because you never see their mom. I imagine it's of Latina origin. The twins as well.
Yeah, the twins.
Their mom is very white.
The twins are, you know, everyone, you know, all the new characters are, you know, related some way, some form, at least for the most part. You know, Wes Hicks with Deputy Judy Hicks obviously being the mother. And then, you know, we had Chad Meeks Martin and Mindy Meeks Martin being the niece and nephew of Randy, R.I.P. I really like how they kind of tag them in there, but yeah, with any Scream movie, you know, you never see the parents all that much, hardly if ever. But of course, Sydney, you know, like you said, you know, she takes the back seat. And I do agree with you when you're saying, you know, in the trailers, they made it seem like she was more of the main star. But, you know, after seeing the movie, it's been it was pretty interesting to see what they did there. But even Sydney mentions that she has children, but we never see them. Because when I first started, when I first went to go see it, I thought that Sam and Tara were the daughters of Sydney. For like a hot second, I thought they were. And then they're like, nope, you know, Sam's the illegitimate child, Billy. So, you know.
Yeah, we got a few Billy appearances, which was very interesting. Haunting his daughter, but also kind of leading her.
Helping.
Leading her along, which is interesting because she might not be okay emotionally or mentally.
Not at all. No.
She's I don't know how she's going to be after this movie. She's not going to be in a good space.
No, like it was almost, like I said, it was almost as if Sam had like her own little personal like force ghost of like her father, like not just her father, but like
her serial killer,
like her serial killer father, who was like, you know, who's all bloodied up and like scraped and bruises and whatnot. I think it was interesting how they tied that in, and I think it works. But like I said before, like it's not that there's any adults in this movie. It's just that none of these kids' parents are anywhere to be found besides Wes's mom, which is, you know,
A returning character.
Whoo, man, talk about two brutal kills. Am I right, though?
Yeah, Wes's kill was insane. A knife through the neck, out the other end.
Man, oh, man. And R.I.P. to Debbie Dewey, Dewey Riley. You know,
I feel like the kills in this one were definitely a step up from the past ones. More focused on the brutality.
Right. It was like, you know, the stabby type thing with the others. But again, you know, with these killings that we're mentioning, with Tara, you know, she is the opening kill, or quote unquote opening kill, but she actually survives. And I mean, not only is she stabbed 7 times, but she also has like a broken leg. So I'm assuming that was Jack who came in, because during the beginning, you know, the ghost face is threatening to hurt Tara's friend Amber. And I'm like, okay, that was definitely Jack. We're like, completely messed up Tara Carpenter, 100%. I was like, I really like how she actually survived. And then they plant into your head that, you know, Jack was so convincing that he almost convinced Sam that her own sister was the killer, because in Scream 4, you know, we had one of Sydney's cousins played by, oh my gosh, what was her name? Emma Roberts. And I didn't, when I saw that for the first time, I did not see that coming at all. I was like, wow. So like, I feel like, I like how they kind of planted that in your brain. That's like, okay, was she really get, you know, stabbed 7 times, sent to the hospital, maybe on purpose, you know, missing vital organs to kind of stage the whole thing. But I think they did a great job. And of course, you know, Deputy Dealey, before he, you know, passes on, he always says, oh, it's like, you know, it's always someone, you know, he's like, always suspect the boyfriend. And Jack even says it. He's like, he gave it away, like right then and there.
It was, yeah, Deputy Dewey always knows what he's talking about.
Oh, man, oh, man. That was crazy. I'm sorry.
They actually killed him off, and they mentioned in the movie that they had to because of stakes and to make it a legitimate sequel, prequel.
That's what Amber said. She said, our movie has stakes. I was like, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but like, you know, with every ghost face, you know, like we said, there's always two. For a second, I thought there was going to be a third one. I thought there was going to be a third ghost face for some weird reason. Because, like you said, in the trailer, the way that they cut it when Sydney's coming back into, was it Stu's house? Originally Stu's house?
Yeah, originally Stu's house. I was really hoping for a Stu appearance. We got Billy, and then I was like, oh, come on, give me Stu. Give me Shaggy.
Like, whoa, Scoob. Yeah, I wish we would have got that. But all in all, I really, like you said, the kills were definitely more brutal. And there was a lot of teasing of, you know, building up suspense, like especially with Wes's kill after his mother gets completely sliced up, where, you know, like he keeps opening up like the kitchen door or like the refrigerator door, and you expect Ghostface to be there. It's like, oh, no, he's not.
Yeah, there's like 7 fake outs in that one scene.
I loved it. I think it, like, what's so strong about this whole film was really the writing. And, you know, like after, you know, Gale and Dewey kind of separated for a while, obviously they still care about each other. But, you know, Amber's the one who killed Dewey in the hospital. That was a great scene, not only because of, you know, Dewey's death, but, you know, the fact that Tara was still in the hospital, still recovering, you know, nowhere near healed to even be mobile. And, you know, the slice through her hand and whatnot when she's trying to move her her wheelchair around and around. And, whew, man, oh, man. Amber took out two knives and carved up Dewey like it was Thanksgiving dinner.
He just went in.
I was like, he did not have to go back. But it's, you know, he went to go
it's
back.
It's the classic. It's a classic rule. You got to go for the head.
Yeah.
Or else they're not dead.
And what else did they say? I'll be right back. He's like, yeah. Between Jack and Mindy. But I also really wanted to touch on the probably my favorite scene of the entire movie, when Mindy is watching the original stab. She's essentially watching her uncle get murdered, and the same thing is happening on her end. Like, dude, yep. Turn around. But I was talking to, like, because I went to a screening of it, and one of the guys I went with, he was saying how it would have been cool if they were able to somehow match up the reflection of the ghost face behind Mindy with the ghost face that was behind Randy. And that, and like, you know, like maybe at some point there's kind of like a delay type thing. Like, it's kind of like they show him double for a second. And that's how she figures out to turn around. But like, because with this one, she kind of just.
That seems like a scary movie type of scene instead. Like the scary movie series that they always copy off of Scream.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was cool. I really like that. Was probably my favorite. Favorite part of it. I thought that Chad was actually gone. Like,
I'm surprised they both survived.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, Mindy just got hit in the shoulder, but I thought Chad was like a goner.
Yeah, Chad got stabbed quite a bit.
Yeah. But like you said, there's a lot of a lot of white parents having very brown children.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, you know, okay, obviously with Chad and Mindy, like, I mean, with mixed kids, it's just, you know, how it is. But then again, we never see who the father is. So it's like, they kind of just say, oh yeah, you know, you kind of just assume, I guess. But I wanted to pass it back over to you. I'm sorry, I've been talking so much. Was there anything you wanted to touch on analyst-wise before we get on out of here? Before we give our scores, actually.
Yeah, I like the Richie reveal. Obviously, he's the classic toxic fan who thinks they're just doing everyone a favor and they're just doing so good by the world, but they are just shouting into the void and nobody cares what they have to say.
Yeah.
I want to give a small shout out to James A. Janisse and his wife. They were, when Richie was watching YouTube about the Stab movies, they were the ones that were talking about Stab 8. And they have the YouTube channel called Dead Meat, which I watch all the time. And they dissect and go through every horror movie that they've seen. And it's a great channel.
Okay.
So they got to make it in the movie.
I'll check that out. Yeah. So really quick, obviously the two killers that we already established was Richie and Amber. Did you think it was anybody else besides those two?
They did a pretty good job of making you think it's Richie, but then kind of deterring you away from it enough to where you get off of him. But I definitely had a feeling, I had a feeling going into it that it was Richie, because Jack Quaid as an actor, he's only been mostly in The Boys as definitely like the only good guy in the series, basically. Yeah. So yeah. Going in, people who have seen The Boys know that and they have that perspective. So it's kind of a play on that where you think he'd be just a regular good guy. Mm-hmm. Similar with Bo Burnham in Promising Young Woman.
Right.
So I definitely going in, I was expecting that, and that ended up being true.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever would have noticed Amber just because she wasn't really in the movie much.
Yeah, I do agree there. For a hot minute, I thought it was Liv, which is Chad's girlfriend.
She was just kind of rough.
Well, because she kept getting bullied.
Her character was just like nonsense.
Yeah, but like her character kept getting bullied. Like Sonia Amara's character, like literally is bullied the entire time. I'm like, okay, if it's her, there's no, I'm like, that would be kind of lame if she was the killer. For like a hot second, I thought it was Wes Hicks. I was like, of course, you know, the character that they named Wes. Whatever. But then they also try to peg it and say like, oh, maybe it's, you know, it could be like Gale or Dewey or whatnot. But I really like how Heck, it could have been Deputy Judy Hicks for all we could have known. But for a hot second, I did think it was the twins. Like, oh, you know, there's always two. Boom, it's the twins. Like, yeah, that's kind of lame. It's very, very lame. But for
I also love the dynamic between Dewey and Gale, mm-hmm. because in the movies, obviously, they got together, they were married, but then they separated, which I think is the same as in real life. They were definitely married at one point, and I think now they're separated. So it's a very interesting dynamic to see them as characters and possibly even as real life humans going through those emotions of connecting with one that you've, a loved one that you've separated with.
Right. Yeah. See, yeah. And I totally forgot that they, you know, were together in real life. But yeah, for me, the only, I guess the only issue I had, like you said, is, I wish they would have focused a little bit more on Amber, but maybe that was the reason why they didn't, was to kind of like, oh, you know, Amber wasn't in the movie all that much. Neither was Liv. You know, we never really, we get to see Sydney, you know, like years later. We actually, you know, and she finally comes back to Woodsboro, and it's, I kind of wish we would have seen more of Sydney's life. Because we definitely saw, you know, I feel like we saw more of where Sydney was in Scream 3, you know, like even when she like tried to seclude herself towards, you know, the beginning of the movie, she's like locking and unlocking all the doors. And then the end of Scream 3, you know, like her woods, you know, her door house kind of just like swings open from the wind and she doesn't lock it. She feels safe. Like in a way, like show how far she's come. But yeah, I wish we got a little bit more with Sydney. Like we definitely got more with Gale and Dewey for sure, obviously with them. But I wish we would have seen more of where Sydney, like where has she been? You know,
yeah, I'd
like,
say that's probably the main issue that I saw because the trailers make it seem like she's the focal point of the movie, which
yeah,
is because, very much so not the point, not right. the case.
Because even like when she's in Stu's old house and then, you know, Ghostface comes down, it's like, oh, Sydney, like it's an honor. I'm like, oh, like that's a nice line. That's a nice line.
I think
line
he
memory.
Actually said that for Dewey instead. I don't know, he might have done it for both, but I definitely remember him doing that for Dewey.
Yeah, did it for Dewey. That was the only, because, yeah. you know, they like switch out the audio and whatnot. But yeah, I was like, you know, and obviously, like when Amber and them get caught and, you know, Gale just goes full frontal, just bang, 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 you know, whatever, towards Amber. And I actually like the nice little callback from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with Amber Freeman's character, Mickey, because she gets burnt up. The same way she kind of does in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And she's holding a knife in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as well. And she kind of gets up and she can't see. You know, she's kind of just whacking all over the place. Like the adrenaline's running through her veins. Much like in this new Scream movie.
Yeah, I really like the passing the torch metaphor as well. How's that for a torch? Your whole face.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, overall, just a fantastic movie. You know, a great movie for us to, you know, cover for our first episode of 2022. You know,
yeah, it's very rare to get not only an enjoyable and actually good January movie, but one that's doing well in the box office too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, congratulations to the entire, you know, cast.
Morbius got scared and went away. So Scream will take all that money.
You know what? I'm totally okay with that. Like, I will be okay if Morbius never comes out. Like, I feel like it. I mean, it's been 2 years for that movie. So it's like, it's definitely becoming the new Mutants movie that came out, because like, how many times can you honestly push back a movie? It is insane. But let's get into our scores here and get out of here. So, Devin, what would you give the new Scream for your rating?
I'm thinking a solid 83.
Okay.
Just right. Very enjoyable. Obviously, Scream, the original Scream would be in the 90s somewhere. Mm. It's the ultimate, like, genre-bending, game-changing horror movie that that came out in the late 90s that nobody was expecting. Mm-hmm. And it really changed the game as far as satire and self-awareness in horror movies. Because before that, obviously there was some with Freddy, and there were some movies that leaned more towards humor, but this one really just blew the floodgates open for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say an 83. For me, I would say probably my second best Scream movie, obviously the first one, and then this one, and then probably 4, and then 2 and 3.
Yeah. So I think because originally after seeing this, I gave the new Scream a 4 out of 5 stars. Like I said before, it's very, it's self-aware, with the meta humor is amazing. It's so relatable if you are a movie lover of any kind, and, just giving that room to for new characters to grow while the older characters kind of take more of a backseat, more of the guiding roles. I really can't wait to see this movie again. I was not expecting it to be this good. And as I was rewatching the other 4, I was getting really pumped for it. So originally I had Scream, the first Scream number 1, and then I had 2, then I have 4. No. So for the 5 that we have, originally I had Scream 1, then Scream 2, then Scream 5, I guess we'll just call it, and then Scream 4, and then Scream 3. But a few days ago, I actually changed it to yours, which is Scream 1 is number 1, then the new Scream 2022 is number 2, Scream 4 is number 3, Scream 2 is number 4, and then Scream 5 is the last. Yeah, I mean, Scream 3 is the last one for the 5th run. So, I mean, I really like 4 of them. I mean, 3, it just didn't really hit for me all that much, and trying to get into Sydney's mom's past and stuff, and it's it didn't really matter.
Ghost of Sydney's mom.
They really tried to pull a Stranger Things when they're let's have Eleven go off on her own adventures and try to go down that path. And people were like, nah, fam, we're not gonna do that. no, sir. But like I said before, for the new Scream, I gave it 4 out of 5 stars on Letterboxd. I feel like that's a solid, pretty much in 82, 83, much around Devin's. Really, really enjoyed it. And I think Wes Craven would have been very, very proud. I hope we do get more Scream movies down the road. I really like how Scream is one of those franchises where it isn't really oversaturated, because like we said, the first two came out in the 90s, and I think they were a year after each other. And then, we got Scream 3. Scream 4 was the last one, was 2011. So I feel like if we got a new Scream movie every decade or so, I would be okay with it. It's not an oversaturated franchise. It is what it is, and it knows what it is, which is the most important thing. It doesn't try to be something that it isn't. And all in all, just a great job by the entire cast and crew. So moving on to that kind of wraps up our coverage, our review of Scream here on the channel. Moving on to our final few topics here on the show. So what's coming up in the podcast, what's coming up in the show for everyone to listen to. So as of right now, we are planning to do a Peacemaker review. It was originally supposed to be the first 3 episodes, but we were fortunate enough to get screeners of the first 7 episodes. So I think we're going to wait a little bit longer and then cover it. I've seen the first 7 already, but so far I'm surprisingly enjoying it. So coming up for the rest of the month of January, at least, we're going to be starting our Hunger Games franchise revisited series, of course, starting with the first one, The Hunger Games. That's going to be released on January 26th. We haven't figured out anything for February as of yet, but definitely follow us on Twitter to keep up with that, because that's what we'll be posting out pretty much our monthly schedules, kind of just trying to take it 1 month at a time. We're trying out some new things here in the podcast, but like I said, it's great to be back with everyone. And, if you haven't, listened to our other episodes, if you're a new user or a new listener out there, definitely, we've been we did a lot within like the second half of the year, you know, between our Harry Potter franchise we visited, and then our, you know, our Matrix, Spider-Man, and Don't Look Up, and there was just so much throughout the end of last year. So if you haven't, you know, scroll back through and listen to our other episodes. We have a lot of amazing friends of the show and amazing guests joining us. And of course, actually for our Hunger Games franchise we visited, at least for the first one, we have a few special guests coming up that will be joining us. So again, our Hunger Games franchise we visited, it's a monthly series. It's going to be starting in January, ending in April. So, yeah, the first one's going to be dropping on January 26th. And if you haven't listened to our updated episode, we started a Discord for everyone out there. We're trying to build a small, you know, small but humble community of all you movie lovers and film buffs out there and TV lovers as well. So the link of our Discord sign up will be in the episode notes, as well as the link to our website where you can find all of our episodes. If you're, you know, just kind of looking to go through like our backlog there, or you can kind of just look it up on the, you know, podcast service that you're, you know, on right now. But also, definitely want to stress, you know, we're trying to hit 50 five-star ratings and reviews on Apple and Spotify. For Apple, you know, if you have an iPhone, definitely leave us a nice little friendly review with a five-star rating. Spotify is a little weird and a little bit different. I believe you actually have to listen to at least like 30 to 45 seconds of a episode before you're allowed to rate it. Because if you try to rate it beforehand instead of listening to an episode, it's going to tell you to listen to an episode first. So I would definitely scrub through, you know, download the episode, scrub through, and then, you know, of course, like we want you to listen to it, but you know, for all of my my friends out there, this is more so for my friends out there who've been trying to figure out on Spotify, more so for them, but definitely Spotify will not let you rate until you listen to an episode, and I think that's between like 30 to 45 seconds, something of that nature. But yeah, definitely we're going to be doing a lot more, you know, giveaways hopefully here soon within the next few months and whatnot. But other than that, I believe that pretty much does it for all of our call to action stuff. So, Devin, anything you want to say to our listeners out there for our first episode of the year?
Tell me your favorite Biscary movie. Hello, that voice Sydney. Is so iconic.
Who does the actual voice of Ghostface?
It is the same guy, but I don't remember his name.
Yeah, because during the beginning of the movie, he sounded a little bit different, but like it was, I think that was his normal voice.
The intro scene where he like kind of sounded like a different person, but then he like got into character.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
He was like, I'm put in your group for your mom.
He's like, oh, he talks about you, babe. I'm like, yeah, like, of course, no parents are found in this movie whatsoever. But yeah, again,
Roger L. Jackson,
a very iconic voice for sure. Definitely. But yeah, like I said before, Discord invite will be in the link below or in episode notes, and you can, you know, you can find all of our social media stuff there as well. And do not forget to leave a five-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. So we're going to get on out of here, and we hope you all have a wonderful start to your week. And that's a wrap for today, everyone. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoy our show, leave us a five-star rating review on Apple and or on Spotify, and follow us on Twitter to stay in the know. That was Devin. My name is Christian, and we'll see you in your next favorite scary movie.
Peace.